Hey, this is Cecil and Marsha Garrett. We are back to keeping it 100.
Hey, so this is our next to the last podcast for this season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have like a lot of life to life for the remainder of this summer. Our daughter's about to get married, and that's been a lot of work, but it's been good. She has not been a bridezilla, so that has helped make this wedding planning a lot easier anyway. So but that's coming up, and then after that there's just so much more that we have to get done. School's going to be starting back, and I got to get the kids ready because, of course, you know, homeschool, and we have a lot of big changes coming up for the upcoming school season. So I'm really excited about the changes.
Busy.
Yeah, for sure. So we're probably going to end our season at episode 20 and then pick back up in September.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep. But today we wanted to talk about fear.
That's a very strong topic, and it's a lot of stages in fear. And so we want to try to hit on some of those this evening that we can help someone like it. We are already been talking about it and making sure that we understand why we feel the way we do about fear.
Yeah. So we kind of hashed out some different things that we were thinking.
Okay.
And fear, yeah. I know one thing we said, that fear hinders production of being and becoming what you've been called to be.
Yeah.
As a wife, as a husband, as a parent, as a woman, as a man, as a child, in your business, other relationships and affairs, it just hinders you from doing things to your fullest potential.
And that's unfortunate that that happens. We look at different parts of your life. Like, let's just take, for instance, say you becoming a minister and you're not fully feeling like that you're capable of doing those things. That's what the devil does. He wants to bring about fear so you won't have no confidence to do the things that God called you to do.
Right.
And we don't want to get caught up in that, letting the enemy have any kind of leeway in our lives. So let's talk about this fear thing and making sure that we can capture what the devil has been trying to do.
Right. So fear, hindering production, hindering how far you're going to go. Where do you feel like, I know that as a mom, there's things that sometimes we can fear if we're raising our kids right. We don't know. That can tend to be a big thing. You don't know if you should say yes. You don't know if you should say no. Do I get a phone? Don't I get a phone? Do I set a bedtime? Don't I? Do I feed them this? Don't I? Yeah. I mean, those are legitimate concerns. But
yeah, those are the small ones.
Yeah. Do I, you know, let them go to public school? Do I homeschool? You know, these are all things that we, you know, have to kind of cipher through and reason through, and we got to make sure that we're not allowing fear to run our decisions, because if we do, then we end up making decisions that are not going to be well for anybody.
Well, let's talk about this thing. You talk about homeschooling and public school. Homeschool versus public school. And you know that the government has a hand in raising our kids in the public school setting. I hope I'm not touching on somebody, kicking somebody in their ankles, but I'm trying to make sure that I say it the right way. But homeschooling is, you want to teach them all the different things that you want them to have, because they're taking certain things away in public school.
Yeah, and but I'm just saying that those are different things that parents think about.
Right.
Not all kids need to be homeschooled.
No.
Homeschool is not for every child. Public school is not for every child. Private school is not for every child. Whatever the parent chooses, it just shouldn't be done out of fear, is what I'm saying. whatever exactly. they choose, they need to make we need to all make sure, because it's me too, mm-hmm. we need to all make sure that we're doing what's best for the kids that we have. You know, we have a son, our son, mm-hmm. one of our sons, he was homeschooled, and we homeschooled him up through 11th grade, but then we felt a shifting in the Holy Spirit, and we enrolled him into a private school his last year, so he didn't graduate a homeschooler.
Right.
He graduated from a private school. Mm-hmm. So, and that was just a shifting of the Holy Spirit, and I could have been fearful to put him in a private school because he had been homeschooled for so many years.
Yeah.
But it's just those opportunities that we have to pull ourselves out of ourselves and trust in the Lord with all of our heart, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like, as a parent, we got to make sure, and as a spouse, we got to make sure that we're not making decisions based off of our fears or being driven by fear. I know for business, in the business.
Yeah.
There's a lot that I did not do and still, you know, struggle with to this day, because, you know, you're fearful or fear that you might fail.
Yeah.
Which was another thing.
Yeah. You know, I can, relate to the failing part, because it was a big step for me to step out there again once I been out there before, and it worked out, and then it didn't work out, and it worked out, then it didn't work out. And you get, you know, blindsided by fear, thinking that it's just not worth it, or maybe it's just not what you're supposed to be doing. But then once again, that's because you're being led by fear. And I don't want to be led by fear, because I do want certain things in my life, and I do want to have my own business, and I want to make sure that it runs professionally and satisfactory to people, that so they'll always keep me around. I want to make sure that we understand that fear is not of God. God is always the author and finisher of good things. So fear is definitely enemy's tactic to keep you down.
Yeah. So when we think about fear of failure,
mm-hmm.
that hinders, yet again, production. It keeps you from accomplishing what it is that maybe you're supposed to be accomplishing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fearing failure, you just simply don't do anything. If I'm going to fear failing as a wife, and I'm just not going to be wifing. If your fear is in failing as being a husband, then maybe you're not going to put your best foot forward to do what needs to be done as a husband. Yeah. If you're failing, or if you failed before, like what you just said, in a business setting, then you decide, okay, I failed before, I'm just not going to do it anymore, because I don't want the stress and the frustration and the time spent
mm-hmm.
in this again, and I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But fear of the unknown could be a hindrance from the enemy.
Yeah.
Because God hasn't given us that, you know.
Yeah, we feel like we should know everything up front before we even get started. That's not reality. You know, everybody wants to know that it's going to be good. You want to be great, and you're going to be successful. You want to know that. But it takes hard work, and it takes dedication to make sure that you keep that. You know, you can't just go off of what you hope going to happen, because hope is only a part of your belief, but you want to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do to keep hope alive.
mm-hmm. So part of that fear of failure is also what maybe being told no.
My Lord.
Being told no to what you want to be told yes to.
Mm-hmm.
And that could stem from a host of things. Maybe you've been rejected a lot. So there is some trauma there from rejection.
There it is.
And if there's trauma from rejection, then fear of asking questions, or fear of stepping into something new because it won't work, or fear of being told, no, this is not going to work out right now. You just simply don't go for anything. You simply just sit back and not take advantage of new opportunities or new things. Fear of change, fear of things being different, fear of having to learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that we can fear that will hinder what we're supposed to be doing or what we're called to do. And I'm just speaking from experience.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about also, fear of making a mistake with your children, feeling like you're failing as a parent, because sometimes you think you see what you think is there, but it's not there. Mm-hmm. Because you think you know what they're thinking about you and what they may feel about you. It may not even be true. You know, you're just doing the best you can. As long as you're not doing detrimental things to their mind and their spirit and their soul, that, you know, you're doing okay. You know, because you'll see the fruits of the labor of your children by their actions and the things that they do. So you knowing that you're doing the best you can. And if there's something that there needs to be addressed, they'll tell you. They'll talk to you because you have that kind of relationship with your children.
So why do you think that sometimes parents fear certain things with their kids, like fear saying no to their child or fear not getting their children certain things? Why do you think they fear communication?
Well, one thing I would say first off is you see their expression on their face, and it looks sad and it looks downtrodden, and you want to make sure that their spirit is always lifted. So you want to make sure that you're trying to stay in that realm, but you got to be careful with that because you don't want to spoil the child. You know, you want to make sure that you're raising them in the attributes of God and making sure that you say and do the right things for them, because you want to see them be successful. You want to see them not spoiled and looking for everything to be a handout, or let's look at you like as you owe them something. Already gave you life. I don't owe you anything else.
That is a good reason why we shouldn't fear, but why do you think that we do fear communicating well with our children? Mm-hmm. Why do you think we fear not getting them the things that they want, or, you know, the backlash from that? Why do you feel like parents fear?
Because you're looking for approval from your children, which is first and foremost, you shouldn't do that. You know, because you are their first line of understanding how things work and how it should work. And, you know, you see their faces and, yeah, you feel a little downtrodden because you may have said no to something that they really desire, but you know what's best for them. You know, and that's speaking in a lot of different areas of their life. And, you know, you want to be there for them, but you cannot be their buddy all the time. You got to be a parent.
Mm-hmm. It's, I think, necessary. Sometimes we can fear that the kids will not like us, that they're going to reject us.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been rejected, like a lot. You don't want to be rejected by your kids. I remember having my first child. I got pregnant out of wedlock, you know, whole school church. I was pregnant out of wedlock. And I remember being pregnant and saying, okay, I'm pregnant now. I'm going to have a child now who's going to love me, who's going to never turn their back on me type situation. So putting that amount of weight on a child even before they're born just sets up a situation to be terrible.
Yeah.
It sets it up to be very unhealthy for the relationship and for the individuals involved, because you're putting weights on that child that they're not meant to bear. So the moment they say no, or the moment they don't want to do something with you, or the moment they reject you because they want to hang out with their friends, then your feelings are hurt.
Yeah, because you put a kid in a position to fulfill your needs or your wants, and that's not their job. Their job is to be obedient and love you and wait for instructions on life, you know, not to be a savior for you.
Or even in our case, we co-parented. So you came in with two kids, I came in with two kids.
Right.
So fear that they will like the other parent more. So then you don't say what you're supposed to say, or you don't discipline the way that you should discipline, or you give more than what you should give, not based off of what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, but you give more than what you should, and then yes, you create an entitled child.
Wow.
So we just got to be careful with this. Fear can turn a life upside down in the worst kind of way if we're not careful.
Yeah.
If we're moving out of our own, if we're moving out of ourselves, trusting in ourselves and leaning and depending on our own understanding versus trusting that God gave us who he gave us, or gave us who he put in our life. Yeah.
Yeah, but we have to be careful with it, because you was talking about rejection and then putting all that weight on your child to to be the your soother, your comforter, your I mean, just looking for a lot of different things. I mean, I'm like, the list is long, you know, and that weight ends up turning back on you again, because the kid is not what you thought they was going. They're not doing what you thought they would do, and that I look at it, okay. You know, kids out of wedlock, it happens, you know, but not saying that it's okay. I mean, you have to be careful, because you don't want to wake that kind of spirit into your life until you're absolutely ready for it, and you put yourself in a position that becomes very uncomfortable and fearful.
It just breeds trauma and depression.
It leads to so many things.
Turmoil, stress. It just opens up the door to so many things. Feelings of worthlessness and hopelessness.
My Lord.
It opens up the door to so much when we just allow fear to set in like that. So it's just important for us. And I'm, you know, grateful that I had to learn in that season that we can't do that to our kids. And then, you know, there's just even situations too, like in marriages.
I just want to say one other thing before we move on to the rest of this. When, you know, we both came in with two kids, and you mentioned one, or the kid liking the other more than, I'll say, the biological one. And that was one of the foolishest, it's like the most foolish thing you can think of, you know, to think that this kid is gonna love. You want that kid to love each other, love the other parent as much as they love you. And but we have so much rejection in our life, and so many lies have been told in our spirit, so we forget that the kid is actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, but we see it differently because it is not going the way we think it should go.
So, yeah, we just got to be careful that we pull ourselves out of the equation. And not put those weights on our kids, because we want them healthy. We want them to thrive. We want them to do well.
Right.
But also in that relationship, since we're talking about relationships with kids, thinking about relationships with our spouses or our significant others, mostly spouses, because there was a time when I feared submission. So the way that it was talked about in the church that I grew up in was that almost like the woman doesn't have a say-so in anything. She basically becomes null and void. She becomes just
She's the
figure in the relationship. So getting into a relationship that required submission, was pounded. Hammered in the church that we grew up in, that I grew up in. That's just how I was brought out. So I knew I wanted to be married, but that whole submission thing threw me. So I was afraid of that. And then I know, just kind of skipping past a lot of stuff, we can go back and catch and pick it back up. But I know the Lord had to deal with me on that, because I didn't see, I didn't even grow up in a house where there was submission. You know, just because of the times. So the Lord had to speak to me and say, okay, this is what submission is, and this is why you submit. This is how you submit. You submit, basically, the Bible says you submit one to another. But the Lord dealt with me and had me call you Lord for a season. And that was me getting comfortable with who God was. So as I developed my relationship with God, it was easy for me to submit to you, because I'm God's girl. So whatever God desires, that is the submission part of it. And it becomes easy to submit to his son.
Okay.
So now there's a lot, maybe another podcast about submission, but there is a lot that drove that because, mm-hmm. again, I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I wasn't the kind of person. I'm a business owner, for crying out loud. I run things, you know. So being told that I couldn't speak up and being told that, you know, the man has to do everything and that the man needs to do everything, it just threw me.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to say, I grew up with a single mom. Even though our dad was alive, he just wasn't totally in our lives. And, I grew up with a strong black woman. And it was hard for me to understand submission of any kind because my mother didn't submit to anybody. If they rubbed her the wrong way, they ticket got canceled. Mm-hmm. It was done. It was over with. Mm-hmm. See you no more. Bye-bye, old Henry.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and so when I came of age, when I was around 16, 17, I met this pastor, and he was talking about submission.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, hey, you know, this sounds good. I mean, where is this woman at? Because I didn't see it when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But not saying that my mother wasn't submissive or anything, but I didn't see that part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as I got older and I started getting a relationship, and I felt like a woman was argumentative and, you know, voice her opinion just way too much,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't the one.
Mm.
So I had to move on to the next one. So, and until I found my wife today, and man, oh man,
mm-hmm.
she was a woman that wanted to be submissive. She's a woman that wanted to follow God. She wanted to do what's right. But when they all they do is browbeat just one way and one way and only, so that made it harder for her to do what she needed to be all she can be as a wife. And it made it hard for me to be all I could be for as a husband, because I'm thinking in my head, she ain't doing what she's supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's not the way God intended.
Right. And that's basically because we both came in with that old school religious mm-hmm. mindset that I was supposed
chalk
to
and borrow.
Shut up and sit in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And you were supposed to be the man and make every single decision, do every single manly thing, whatever the manly thing is. I don't know what the manly stuff is. But, you know, just every single manly thing. And, mm-hmm. yeah, we both knew, and I think you said, we both knew that we were supposed to be married.
Mm-hmm.
We both knew that we were supposed to be married to each other. But then there was that fear that you were allowing a woman to run over you.
Yeah.
And then there was that fear in me that was saying, I am not about to allow a man to run over me. I have a lot to offer, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
So not really knowing how to come together and understand exactly what submission was. But
yes.
The blessing for us is that the Lord gave us a very good understanding of what submission was.
Mm-hmm.
And when we began to start submitting ourselves to God,
mm-hmm.
then that's when submission became easy. And you're right.
Easier, yes.
Submission, I didn't get married to control you or to run things.
Mm-hmm.
I got married because I was looking to be under.
Yeah.
I was looking to be under my man.
Right.
I was looking and desiring to submit, but just not really knowing how.
Right.
So if there, I guess what we're saying is if there is a fear of submission, number one, you submit one to another, but women submit to their husbands as unto God.
Yeah.
And husbands love their wives.
Mm-hmm.
As they love God first.
Right.
So when it comes to you being afraid that I would overstep my boundaries,
yeah.
then all you got to remember is 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm.
And as you remember that, then you also remember that you're also God's boy.
Mm.
I'm God's girl. You're God's boy. So if I, which God is out of this situation, if I decide I'm going to disrespect you and overstep my boundaries and run you through the mud, then mm-hmm. God gonna deal with me because you his son.
Right.
And if you decide you're gonna overstep your boundaries and tear me apart mentally and emotionally, physically, or whatever the case may be,
uh-huh.
the Lord gonna deal with you
yeah.
because I'm his girl.
Amen.
And that's where that fear of submission was able to begin to be tore down it.
I'm gonna say a little something about the old churches that we were in, not just one particular, but the old churches,
just religion in general.
Just religion in general. And there were some men that was in my life was just, you know, browbeating me like, oh man, you handpick, you're this and you're that, you know, because I was being submissive onto my wife like she was to me. You know, being a husband that's fair and just, want to make sure that my wife is completely satisfied, happy, and she can freely be who she's supposed to be in God's eyesight. Mm-hmm. If she's ruining me, it's going to come back on her. Mm-hmm. I'm still here today. Mm-hmm. I'm still living the life. I'm still married. Everything is going the way, well, not everything is going the way we want it to go, but mm-hmm. it's a good life. God's blessed us tremendously from where we came from to where we are. We're way a step ahead than what we used to be. Mm-hmm. So that means we're doing something right because God has blessed us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that when you talk about other people coming in, mm-hmm. then that's another door that opens up to fear, because if you don't have people in your life that you were able to see coming up doing it, God's way versus religion, mm-hmm. stepping into something different and stepping into something new can be fearful because you've never really seen it done before.
Yeah.
So when you're a parent or a new parent, when you are a new spouse, when you're starting a new business, a lot of these things can be fearful.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have other people speaking into you, you got to be careful talking about, you know, speaking to myself too, but it's thinking about the old us. We you know, got to be careful
mm-hmm.
who we allow to speak into our life, because we don't know what their backstory is. We don't know why they're deciding women should sit in the corner and shut up, or we don't know why they're deciding that all kids should get a spanking for whatever they do say or how they look. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or why they're saying, you know, all kids are bad, you know, whatever the case may be. We don't understand why they're saying what they say.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that we are people of wisdom
mm-hmm.
and discernment, and making sure that we're not just allowing anything to come in. So test the spirit by the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If we know the truth, then the truth is going to set us all free. So even when people come in to tell us different things, we got to know the word for ourselves and not be embarrassed to speak up, or not be embarrassed to come to God.
Amen.
Embarrassment of, like you said, being talked about, being called henpecked, or looking foolish, or just like not knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I should have known that. So I'm not going to speak up, or I'm not going to challenge what they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you put yourself in a weak position as a person. Not just a man or a woman, just a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people are challenging your character
mm-hmm.
and wondering if you should be in the position that you're in. I'm in the position I'm in because God chose me, mm-hmm. not because man. Mm-hmm. If I let man choose everything in my life, it wouldn't be running the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give all grace and honor unto God, who is the head of my life, and I want to make sure that it stays that way. I'm not here to please people unless God tells me to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to say what needs to be said and go on.
Right. So I think that we pretty much covered that fear thing. At least I don't know. What do you think?
I think we touched on quite a bit of it. There's so much more to this. And, you know, we want to make sure that fear does not reign in your life. And I hope this has awakened someone's spirit that they can understand that they don't have to live in fear. That God can clear you from all of this things that the enemy throws your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let fear not be a factor. There's that show fear factor.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
And they do all these. It'd be some dumb stuff on there, though. That's just some of that stuff is not even fear. Like, that's just dumb. But let not fear be a factor in our life. You know. Let fear not hinder us from having good relationships with our spouses, and let fear not hinder us from being who we're supposed to be to the kids that God put in our life. And there are so many things and doors. Let fear not be a hindrance to a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that God has put in the hands of his children that he wants to see accomplished, and we're not going to look like everybody, and it's not going to look the same way. Some things are just going to look different. Jesus was different. He didn't come down and look like the king that they thought he was going to be. He was different.
Yeah.
So they rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
And they feared the change. They feared what was different. You know, so they missed out on a lot.
Yeah.
While he was here. And I don't want to be in a situation where I'm just missing out on opportunity after opportunity because I'm fearing what I'm not.
Yeah.
Or I'm fearing a failure. I'm fearing how far a success. Sometimes we fear success. Mm-hmm. And I'm fearful of how far I can go.
Yeah.
It's going to require more of me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be lazy, but allowing fear and procrastination to go out the door.
Yeah.
And become everything that God has anointed us to be and gifted us to be.
Amen.
So if we step out of ourselves, He gives us what we need. He gives us the grace. He gives us the strength. He gives us everything that we need to become what He's called for us to be. He gives us what we need to run the race.
That's right.
So we just got to pull ourselves out of ourselves and walk in His will.
Amen.